Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, beautiful soul. I have a question for you. Do you know anyone who has had a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience? Well, if you've ever seen videos about them or read about them or heard about mine, often there's a very clear line in our lives before the NDE and after. But guess what? There are people around the world who've had these near-death experiences where they've left their bodies as tiny little children and babies. In fact, my guest today in the Ask the Author series is Charlotta Banff from Denmark, who shares a story in our book, Holistic Healing, about how healing animals has helped her heal her own trauma. When she was just 2.5 years old, she was in an accident and she remembers seeing herself in an ambulance. And she doesn't have really any memory of her life before that. But what has happened since is incredible. She actually has these magical powers to connect with animals, to communicate with animals, and to heal them. And I think you're going to love this conversation because it really demonstrates that there is so much more to this resilience and holistic healing pie than many of us think. So please enjoy the interview. Charlotta Banff, it is so wonderful, as usual, to connect with you. Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for sharing your story in this book. I'm just so grateful for this connection.
Thank you for having me and for bringing my story into the book.
Well, as you know, from the moment that we met and I found out the work that you do as the chief animal officer for the Animal Healer Academy, I've been fascinated because I really feel like the work that you do is kind of, it seems mystical, but I also know that of course we can communicate with animals and of course they pick up on our energy. I've lived that with my own dogs, but this gift that you have of being able to heal animals, particularly animals that have been traumatized, is fascinating to me. And that you are now recognizing your superpowers, if we could call them that, probably came from your out-of-body near-death experience when you were just a toddler. And as you may remember, I had an NDE in 2005. And before I came back into my body, I saw a vision of myself healing with my hands. And I remember saying, God, are you going to make me a woo-woo doctor? And I was like, but actually some of that has actually happened. But what you say in this book, Holistic Healing, in the chapter that you shared with us, you talk about how many people who go out of the body with a near-death experience or whatever, many of them come back with either a heightened perception or sensitivity. So I'm getting ahead of myself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your particular situation? Because I love how you also say, for most of us, myself included, I can remember my life pre-NDE and exactly how my life has changed since then. Mm. But for you, because you were just a baby, you were a toddler, you don't really have that sense of before and after. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, right. And that has really been a lot of this journey because, you know, you read these books about NDEs and people having had that. And of course, I dove into that research because I wanted to learn more. And I get fascinated by these stories and I could recognize myself in these stories. So I started researching and I I couldn't see myself. I couldn't really reflect in, how does this story relate to me? How can these stories answer some of my questions? And what was particularly significant was the before and after situation. And I was like, I don't have that because what happened to me happened when I was so very young. So I've only recognized the after. So I had to put some awareness and some study into figuring out, so if there could have been a before, what would that look like? And does that even make sense asking that question? Because that can never be.
Yeah.
But having some kind of comparison is something a logical human mind needs sometimes, at least I do. But what I could figure out was how, looking into things from a perspective of diving into research, what do people say would be before, and how can I compare with that? And the comparison didn't really help me. It got me frustrated. So I had to like put that aside and say, okay, so who am I with what I can do? And can some of the stuff that I can do that I have, figured out that not everybody can perhaps do the way I can some of this perhaps be related to what had happened?
So why don't you just take us back though? You were what, two and a half years old,
Yeah, two and a
and there
half years
was
old.
a car accident. So tell me, what do you remember from the, at least from the accident, so we can get a sense for that?
Well, what I was about 2.5 years old. And I was walking along a very, very quiet road in Denmark where there were one bicycle. And I walked out in front of that one bicycle and cracked my head open. And remember that I was in an ambulance. Well, what I remember is not that I was in an ambulance, but I remember seeing the inside of an ambulance and seeing this child being treated. And seeing what happened, everything was happening from outside of me, where I was witnessing like a movie taking place in under where I was watching it from, is the best way of describing it. So it was definitely an out of body experience. I remember watching my grandmother holding this little child. I watched this woman holding a child. The child was sobbing and it was in pain. And then the ambulance came, and I was watching all of this from the outside. And that, when you put the pieces together of those pictures, the sequence, that must have gone on for quite an extensive period of time, at least not seconds, but mere minutes, from calling the ambulance and sitting with a child. And that must have taken, a given amount of time. So I had that
Do you remember
memory.
coming back into your body?
No, I don't. And the next thing I think I remember is being in the hospital as a child. So because, when you're that young, you don't have many memories from that. So I was also, that was one of the things I was curious about, is when I don't have a lot of memories from that time in my life because I was that young. So why is this memory so fresh and so clear? And who has the answers to this really? But what I do think is that I think that memories is stored on another level. I'm an IT nerd, so maybe that's stored in some collective database somewhere. I don't know. But it's still, if I would have been 15 years old, I would have had a conscious memory of what have happened in my life before and after. But I didn't have that at the time. So why is this particular memory so fresh and so is word vivid? I don't know. Yeah. Sorry, words.
It's
But
okay. So in the book, it's interesting because you talk about going on like an investigative journey and searching for answers, but it's not like you got concrete answers. You said that you had to just live experiences. Things would come up, you would get triggered, and you started to piece together that that traumatic injury was linked to some things that were going on in your later life, right?
Yeah, because I'm a curious person, and I can sense these things. My nervous system is on the full bars on the Wi-Fi. So I dove into all these how can in an investigation into what can you do with your nervous system? What can the nervous system perceive? When am I? And I was sensing these animals. I could sense into what they had experienced. And I'm like, okay, there's a massive projection going on here. I need to dive into my own therapy about this. And a lot of years of both, diving into therapy, both on a physical and on an energetic and on a mental level, collecting all, putting all these pieces together, and figuring out, when is when you are left with a heightened sensitivity, what you do with that, and how to navigate getting nervous system to get out of fight and flight. And when I am in a calm, collected state, can I dive into what my nerve can, can I spread out the sensitivity in my nervous system? What can I do with this apart from just sensing, my own energy body? Can I sense the animal's energy body? Can I relate to, and then these images start coming from the animals about what they're what it felt like for them in a traumatized situation.
Let's be really specific, because I think part of what you share in the book Holistic Healing is kind of mind-blowing. So take us back to a very specific moment when you were able to connect with an animal, in particular, that big, beautiful elephant who had experienced so much trauma that.
Because sometimes you meet animals where what they have experienced is beyond cruel. And it's sometimes something you can't even fathom with your own sensitivity and your own how can humans be so gruesome, so cruel to another being? And from an energy healing point of view, you know what you do with that? If you just meet something that is, where do you start?
But what's
And we were
interesting
on
about
a,
that
we were.
story is that you said that when you got to this sanctuary or this rescue place, that they told you, no, you've got to stay away. This elephant is.
Oh yeah, that, yeah. Because what I sense is that the animals, they recognize if you can recognize them. So they will seek this equilibrium in their energy system. They want to calibrate their energy system. They want to rebalance. And they do that instinctively. And we were in a rescue center in Thailand. And we were asked to not cross. They were having some metal benches that people could sit on. And they're heavy. And they were like 4 or 5 meters long. So you needed to be 2 or 3 people to lift them. And this elephant came over to get some snacks and to greet us. And she was standing on one side of this bench. And we were told, you cannot go on the other side of that bench. And she kept seeking me and putting her trunk out to nuzzle me and wanted to contact me. And the mahout said, no, you can't touch the elephant. And I was like, okay, I'll do what they tell me. And then she took the bench with her trunk and started, rattling it like a tiny twig. And then the mahout knows the elephant. A mahout is chosen by the elephant. It's not the other way around. And
And
that's very
what is
fascinating.
mahout? What does that word
Mahout
mean?
is the el it's the elephant caretaker, the primary elephant caretaker, and the elephant chooses his or her mahout. If we hear barking, those are my dogs in the background. Keeping it real, we are in animal kingdom here. But the mahout was looking at his elephant and going, you need to get a step over that bench and engage with her, because otherwise it's not going to be funny if she starts tossing the furniture around. And he was looking at me like, who are you? What are you doing? Why is my elephant wanting to talk to you? And I'm like, yeah, I have an idea about this. And he was starting shooting pictures, and the guides were shooting pictures, and everybody was shooting pictures. I noticed that afterwards, so I have some lovely footage of it. But I didn't notice that. All I could notice was like she was so gentle, and she started. But you can't touch her, he says. And I was standing on the other side of the bench, and the elephant started leaning. And I'm like, well, you know, what am I going to do with 1 ton of elephant leaning? You know, I need to touch her. Yeah, you can touch her. And I put my hand just below her eye, and this was just, you know, equally as healing for me as for her. But she started showing me her purpose. And she started showing me that she was here to educate people, and she was so thrilled about it. And she wanted to, you know, educate people about how to take care of animals and how to rebalance, and she had so much to say. And you know, that download is instant, so it takes some time afterwards to unravel what has been going on, because that comes like I'm with notebook afterwards writing down what has happened, because it shows up like a 10 gigabyte download in snappy Wi-Fi connection.
So were you seeing images, or was it vocal or words? Like, how did you pick up on her purpose?
It's, to me, it's a mixture. It's a Claire smoothie. It's a mixture of clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentience. It's a Claire sensory input.
Got it. So you just have this knowing and this awareness. And then was it the mammut that told you about her history working in a circus, or did she communicate?
Yeah. The guides shares the stories of each of the elephants in the sanctuary, what the story is. Some were rescued from logging industries, some were rescued from tourist industries, some were from circuses. So it depends on the story. And she was, this one was from the logging industry.
Okay.
She had been forced to work in illegal logging in the forests in Thailand.
Wow. Yeah. So.
And they show what they do, how to break the animals, and that, you know, I recognize when something is physically being so forceful that it goes so much beyond what is natural for your physical form. It does something to you. It cannot not do something to mess up wires across, you know.
How do
they rebalance?
It's tough to hear, but you said in the book that she lost her connection to her soul, to the oversoul, so that no healing was happening, that she was just kind of like a robot, just eating, pooping, sleeping, but not like interacting until, of course, you step in and she's like leaning toward you. So what happened next?
Well, actually, there were two elephants in this sanctuary. The first one was the one tossing the furniture around. And the other one, and that was one of those where everybody is marked. You know, when you've had an experience like of that caliber with an animal, then you have your before and after.
Yeah.
Because we were invited backstage after this incident with the furniture tossing animal. She was a bright, full spirit. She was adorable. And then we went to lunch and we were talking. And they were like, what are you doing? Says, yeah, I am animal healer, animal communicator. Do you want to come backstage? That's an oh yeah. So we went backstage and they had this elephant that had just been rescued and were not shown off to the public because she was so traumatized, and she was just eating, doing her business, not engaging, nothing, anything. She was her the light was out in her eyes, and as the guide was saying, because they know the elephants, is that she hasn't even chosen her mahout yet because she's not engaging in anything. And she has sad memories and bad memories, so there's no connection to her. And I could sense, we started working with her from a distance because going close to her was not an option. And what I sensed with her was that she had completely disconnected. She knew that she was able, because elephants are clever beings, she knew that she had this connection to whatever group soul, group collective consciousness from where she would in a normal situation, she would be able to draw her life force energy from. But she also knew that that connection was severed, but she couldn't find it. And I was like, I can relate. And then start working with energy healing from a distance, like where to start. I can't touch her physically, but I can somehow make this, from an energy point of view, make this connection, healing this connection, re-engaging this connection, so that she connects to that life force energy that she needs to draw from in order to be a whole and fully embodiment of herself. And I started working with that, and we could then she lifted her head and came over to the gate and started engaging with us, and the guide was like pulling on my sleeve, going, "What are you doing? She's never done that before." I was like, this is normal, going, oh my God. And then she started walking, like, and engaging with the trunk, putting it around the bars on the gate, and just showing a behavior that, the guides could interpret as something completely different from what they have been able to see from her in the past 3 months since they rescued her. And I could sense her reconnecting, like the wires were
And
getting
so
connected again.
I know you probably can't tell us, like, what, well, maybe you can, because I know that in Animal Healer Academy, you teach people how to have these connections to be able to heal animals. But in that case, since at first you couldn't touch her, are you like just sending energy? Are you beaming love? Like, what is the energy healing? What is it? What are you doing? Or is it just because of your
I have
extrasensory facilities,
no.
you just consciously will it? Like, okay, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to connect you. I don't know. Tell me.
What I do, I've asked myself that many times, but the significant part of this is to ask the energy around the animal, how do you heal? And lean into what are the possibilities in this exact moment, instead of trying to force a modality upon the healing, leaning into, and then what is possible, but also bringing in intention. Intention is extremely powerful in especially in some of these, well, in every healing case, but especially some of these really severe rescue cases where, like, I'm okay, everything I've learned in a book, I can't use here. So what do I do? I set an intention and I lean in, trust into whatever energy is within me, whatever energy is within the animal, and I listen with my energy to their energy, and then what comes through is what needs to be healed and what is possible to work with in this given moment. There may be something else that is necessary to work with in another moment in time, but just what can we do right here and now with what we have? That's like the framework I can, without it in any way being a framework. So,
It's so you get sort of an intuitive hit on this is what the animal needs at this moment and what they can tolerate, what's possible, and then you facilitate that. Is this something
and
that anyone
I
can
listen
learn?
with every, yes, they can. I really, of course you have to practice. Like, if you want to be good at tennis or golf, you have to practice. So also you need to exercise your spiritual healing muscles and figure out how that works for you. And I don't think any either one of us is the same. I think we have to figure out, how does this feel for me? Who am I as a healer? How does these sensory inputs from wherever we pick them from, how do they feel in me when I am engaging with another being's energy system? How do I want to set my intention? Who do I want to be and feel into when I do this work? And of course, you can lean into techniques and modalities and frameworks and teachings. I do that as well. But the most, I my forte is that I know my energy system. I know my own energy system
Right.
very well.
Yeah.
So the work, my primary work is with me, figuring out what happens, how do I sense things, how do I pick them up? Because everybody's picking it up.
But do you think that because you had this traumatic accident, that has given you this heightened sensitivity? Or do you think everyone, I mean, is everyone born with a sixth, seventh, or eighth sense? And if we just learn to work
Yeah,
with
we
it,
are.
if we learn to tune into our own body, or what, however we pick things up.
Yeah, I think everybody can do this. And of course, for me, it's just, I think it was just heightened in me, but there's nothing special. It's just this is just a little bit louder. I think the volume is a little bit louder with me, which made me more aware of what goes on, so I can dive into the modalities of it, and I can pass that on to others, and have that extra sensitivity into how can I guide you into how this feels for you, so we can like re-engage into something that we are born with. We have this.
And do you find that the people who come to Animal Healer Academy, the people that you're training both online, virtually, and people who were able to come to your farm before COVID, do you find that they also had trauma and they're super sensitive, or is it just a love of animals, or is there anything that you can tease out among the people who are attracted to learn animal communication and animal healing?
The primary need is a love for animals and a wanting to learn how to lean into their spiritual truth. Because who's healing who? We can heal them. They bring something forth that we can learn and heal from in the space we share with them. And you don't necessarily have to have had massive trauma. I hope you don't have before you want to lean into this. But there's especially this, there's always, well, not always, but in most of the cases of any of my students, they have had that one or two or three, those special animals that have crossed their path. And that animal moves in, coincidentally, at exactly the right time in their life when the neighbor had to move and couldn't keep the dog, so they got it. And how funny was that? Because that was the exact time they got divorced or had to switch job or ended up in lockdown. So there's very often that those specific animals moving in with their specific character traits, with their special needs, just exactly at a very nice timing, the time in a human's life. We many of those working professional with animals can go, yeah, there was that special horse or that cat or that dog. We most of us have those.
And you also say in the book, in Holistic Healing, you talk about, I mean, the whole title of your chapter is How the Animals Healed Me, How Healing the Animals
Yeah, how
Healed You.
exactly,
So
yeah.
what has happened in your own energy field or other symptoms that you've had that you think are linked to your trauma that have been impacted through animal healing?
Well, that really comes back to what we started this conversation with my studies, because I couldn't really find the answers to my studies in any literature. I could find, bits and pieces that I could link together, and they all moved me along the path. But the real insights into how I could find some level of healing coming out of my trauma was out of the healing work that I've done with the animals, because each animal that I've worked with have given me some kind of insights that was like a little bit of a puzzle piece to the whole picture. So each of them have contributed in their own way into this investigative journey that I set out upon to figure out what this was about. Because if from the belief that everything that happens for a reason, sometimes that reason can be a bit difficult to understand in our lives. And I think that's just the animals are somewhat here. It's a mutual exchange of growth and learning, but definitely animals that have crossed my path have helped me into finding some kind of equilibrium in this, that's for sure.
I love it. Well, Charlotta, it is so fun to talk to you. And I know you have so many more stories. As you know, it's my dream to be able to do a documentary so that we could have a camera following you to these rescue centers that you go to see how this magical connection and communication and healing happens. I think the world would be fascinated to see it.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that would be fantastic. And also that, I often think about what are these animals, what do they want to, what message do they have for us? Because they do. And the world is a traumatizing place sometimes, and many people have, I don't think you come out of this life being non-traumatized. You have to be some level of traumatized in and what they've shown me is that you can rise to a level of healing. And it's mesmerizing every time I meet an animal who really has been in a bad patch in their life and what horrible things have happened to them. And somehow they come out of it in a lot of the cases. And it's like, how can you heal from that? Why is this animal in front of me jumping about being all happy and engaging? And we can learn so much from how they do that and bring that knowledge into our own lives. And that's also one of the things that I like to bring forth into the world, that if there is a trauma of or any other severe experiences, that there can be a way out. And sometimes we have to lean into the knowledge of the furry angels to find that answer in some way.
I love it. Charlotta, thank you so much for sharing with me today and sharing your story in this book, Holistic Healing. For those of you who are curious to know more, read her chapter in this book. You can also visit her online, animalhealeracademy.com. She's also at Animal Healer Academy on Instagram. And then you can also see some of the pictures sometimes when she's off on these rescue missions. My favorite is when you show the pictures of the lemurs that you're treating with the craniosacral or whatever other magic you have. It's really amazing to watch.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're such an inspiration.
Thank
So
you.
there you have it, my friends. Get a copy of the book. If you want to see more of the author interviews, check us out on YouTube at Pennington Media or holistichealingbook.com. Until we meet again, remember that you are a gift to the world, so share your presence with passion. Much love, everyone. Bye. Listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.